Deuteronomy chapter 6. I'm going to read today from God's word. And if out of respect for God and out of his word, if you wouldn't stand with me, we'll read Deuteronomy 6. And I'll read verses 1 through verse 15. It says, Now this is the commandment, and these are the statutes and judgments, which the Lord your God has commanded you, has commanded to teach you, that you may observe them in the land which you are crossing over to possess, that you may fear the Lord your God, to keep his statutes and his commandments, which I commanded you, you and your sons and your grandsons all the days of your life, and that your days may be prolonged. Therefore, hear, O Israel, and be careful to observe it, that it may be well with you, and that you may multiply greatly, as the Lord God of your fathers has promised you, a land flowing with milk and honey. Hear, O Israel, the Lord our God, the Lord is one. You shall love the Lord your God with all your heart, with all your soul, with all your strength. And these words which I command you today shall be on your heart. You shall teach them diligently to your children and shall talk of them when you sit in your house, when you walk by the way, when you lie down, and when you rise up. You shall bind them as a sign on your hand, and they shall be as frontlets between your eyes. You shall write them on the doorposts of your house and on your gates. So it shall be when the Lord your God brings you into the land of which he swore to your fathers, to Abraham, to Isaac, to Jacob, to give you large and beautiful cities, which you did not build, houses full of all good things, which you did not fill, hewn out wells, which you did not dig, vineyards and olive trees, which you did not plant. When you have eaten and are full, then beware, lest you forget the Lord who brought you out of the land of Egypt, from the house of bondage. You shall fear the Lord your God and serve him, and shall take oaths in his name. You shall not go after other gods, the gods of the peoples who are all around you. For the Lord your God is jealous, is a jealous God among you, lest the anger of the Lord your God be aroused against you and destroy you from the face of the earth. May God add his blessings to this reading.
At this time, we want to go to the Lord in prayer, thinking about the words that was just read from Deuteronomy and thinking about our own hearts and our own lives as well. Father, we come before you this morning so thankful for the grace and the mercy and the love, the steadfast love that you have shown to us, the forgiveness and your slowness to anger, dear Lord, that is in your character. We want to thank you that you are the God of the heavens and of the earth. You spoke them into being, and they were. Father, we want to praise and worship you as creator, and we being your creation, we want to come before you and say, Lord, we humbly thank you for everything, because there is nothing that we have. No good thing comes apart from you. O great God, you are great, and you are truly good. Father, we come before you and we thank you for your holy word. Last week we heard how that your word gives us life like rain and snow in the desert. You, Lord, give us life in our hearts, our parched souls. And today, Lord, we heard of your graciousness in your word, how that you have given us things that we ourselves did not even have, but they are gifts from you. Lord, I pray that you would allow us to teach the goodness and the greatness of God from one generation to the next, that we would not only speak it with our mouth, that we would live it in our life. Lord, that we would know you and that we would love you with every fiber in our being. Lord, we thank you that you have sent your Son, the Lord Jesus, to pave the way in the love of God. And Lord, when we have fallen short in loving God as we ought, your grace covers us, the grace of God, through the person of Jesus Christ. That is the gospel. Lord, we're here this morning to celebrate the gospel. And Lord, we want to thank you so much for this land that you have given us. And we ask that even as tomorrow a transition takes place in the leadership in Washington, that we would remember that God Almighty sits upon the throne and rules and reigns in the heart of his people. And I ask that this very morning, this Sunday, this Lord's Day, that you would give us a taste of heaven here as we gather together as your people. Lord, let us remember the Son and his glory. Let us remember the Spirit. And Lord, I pray that the power of your Spirit would knit our hearts together as we praise you. And Lord, I pray that your hand of blessing would be on our country so that we can go forth and freely worship God Almighty in this land. Lord, we ask that you would be with each and every individual here, those whose souls are hurting. I ask that your precious word would be a balm to their souls, like the balm of Gilead. Lord, for those who are seeking direction, I pray that you would speak to them and that they would hear the voice of God through the Scripture and through the Spirit. And Lord, I pray this morning that our eyes would be opened once again to the Son of God, Jesus Christ, the Savior, and that we would rejoice in him. I ask this in his precious name. Amen. If you would this morning, take your copy of Scripture and open them up. And we are going back to Matthew. And we are at the very end of the Sermon on the Mount. Just a few more weeks and then we'll go into Matthew chapter 8. So if you would, turn to Matthew chapter 7. And the verses under study this week will be verses 15 through 20. So as you're turning there, I want to begin our service and our sermon this morning by just telling you a little story about the church that I grew up in this little tiny mountain town or little village almost called Bear Wallow. It was in the late 30s, and there was a man who happened to be my great-grandfather. And he was on his way to get the mail, and he would usually do this mail run about once a week to the nearest train stop. It wasn't even a station, it was just a stop. And as he got there, he would pick up the mail and bring it back up to the mountain and deliver all the parcels and packages to the little town called Bear Wallow. Now, what did he actually go to pick this mail up in? He had two mules and a wagon. So he would make his way down to the train station with his mules and with his wagon. And on this particular day, not only did he pick up the mail, but he picked up two people, Fred and Marie Topelman, who had made their way from Pennsylvania all the way up into the mountains of Virginia and then hitched a ride on this mail wagon so that they could make their way to the little mountain town called Bear Wallow. And eventually, by their efforts, we would have Bear Wallow Bible Church, the church that I grew up in. And Marie Topelman, when she left, now the reason I know this is because my great aunt was on that particular trip, and she remembered seeing her in her fur coat, first time she ever saw a fur coat. And Marie Topelman, who had come from Pennsylvania and then got on the train and went all the way to the end of the line and made it to up in that little holler, right, and got off, she says, "My husband and I stepped out on faith, and we landed on a rock." God was faithful to them. Now, the reason I bring that up is, haven't times changed in the way we communicate? Can you imagine my great-grandfather going to pick up mail with a wagon and mules? Incredible. Think about how times have changed in the way that we communicate in the world. I mean, there was a time that we would chisel things into stone or into lead, or you would have a parchment. If you were very wealthy, you could have your own copy of an important document, and they would take animal skins, or in Egypt, they would take papyri and write upon that with ink and on parchment or that Egyptian paper. And eventually, it got to the point in the 1400s that a man by the name of Gutenberg made movable type, and so that you were able to print something and duplicate it in a much faster way, so that now everybody relatively could have a copy of Scripture or something else. Think about how that changed from the 1400s, and by 1800, I think in the 1400s, there was like 200,000 copies of something. By 1800, there's over a million copies of things being printed, and you begin to have like daily newspapers and things like that, so that each day that you could go out and read the news. And then after that, think about the transition that took place in the 1900s, how no longer is it just paper that we're looking at, but the invention of the telegraph, and then the wireless radio, right? You could sit in your home and flip a switch, and you could hear somebody talking from 1,000 miles away. And the radio gave away to the television set. And then eventually, as the 20th century progressed, you not only had a television set, but you had cable TV or satellite TV, and now you have 1,000 channels and nothing to watch, right? And then in the late 20th century, we have the internet and we have email. So now we're not picking up mail anymore in a wagon with donkeys, but now you're opening up a computer to see that. And then in 2007, the iPhone came out, and now we have it all in our hand. A million voices with a million messages right now in your pocket. Oh, times have changed, haven't they? Now, I want you to ask and think, well, what in the world does this have to do with Matthew chapter 7, right? Well, it has a very big thing to do with Matthew chapter 7 because Jesus gave a warning, if you remember. He said, beware of false prophets. He gave a warning that was relative to his time, but how many messages do you have in your pocket that might not actually be true? You could open up and listen to any person with any message. And so Jesus gives us a warning that was pertinent to then, but oh, how is it pertinent to now that we have discernment to who has our ear? Beware of false prophets. That's my aim this morning, is to let us take a long, hard look at who has our ear, and let us be discerning Christians as we walk in this world. Let me read the passage that we'll look at today, and then we'll pray and then jump into our sermon. I'm going to begin with Matthew chapter 7, verse 12. So whatever you wish that others would do to you, do also to them, for this is the law and the prophets. Enter by the narrow gate, for the gate is wide and the way is easy that leads to destruction, and those who enter by it are many, for the gate is narrow and the way is hard that leads to life, and those who find it are few. Beware of false prophets who come to you in sheep's clothing, but inwardly are ravenous wolves. You will recognize them by their fruits. Are grapes gathered from thorn bushes or figs from thistles? So every healthy tree that bears fruit, bears good fruit, but the diseased tree bears bad fruit. A healthy tree cannot bear bad fruit, nor can a diseased tree bear good fruit. Every tree that does not bear good fruit is cut down and thrown into the fire. Thus you will recognize them by their fruits. Not everyone who says to me, Lord, Lord, will enter the kingdom of heaven, but the one who does the will of my Father who is in heaven. On that day, many will say to me, Lord, Lord, did we not prophesy in your name? Did we not cast out demons in your name and do so many mighty works in your name? And then I will declare to them, I never knew you. Depart from me, you workers of lawlessness. Let us pray. Father, I pray that on this morning, the Lord's day, that we would hear afresh and new the words of our Savior, Jesus, and that they would land in our hearts like never before, and that you would open up the eyes of our hearts to ask this question, who has our ear? Who has our heart? Lord, I ask that you would allow us to be discerning on those who do have our ear, and Lord, that we would always listen to the voice of our good shepherd, Jesus Christ, and that you would lead us ever closer to you. Lord, I ask that you would take me and let me go into the background, forgive me of my sins, and Lord, that you would come forward once again and preach your message to your people on this very Lord's Day. We ask this in Jesus' precious name. Amen. Who has your ear? That really is the question. Who has your ear. The only thing you had to do is turn on the radio, and in your car or wherever you're at, only thing you had to do is press that button on the remote. Only thing you had to do is swipe up on that screen, and you have a million people with a million messages speaking to you. And they all want your attention. Who has your ear? What do I mean when I say that? What I'm asking you to do is take a long, hard look and examine who are the most influential people in your life. Who speaks into your life? Who shapes the way you feel, the way you think, the decisions that you make? What is the website that you go to get the answers? What is the podcast you find yourself returning to? What friend at work or at the restaurant shapes your opinions and your thoughts? We all have influences in our life. The question I'm asking you this morning is, who has your ear? Now, once you've thought about that, I want you to listen to what Jesus says. Beware of false prophets. Now, remember how we got to this point. Jesus is at the end of the greatest sermon ever preached in the world ever. Jesus, the greatest teacher, is teaching the greatest lesson, and he's at the very end of it, and he's actually in the midst of concluding his sermon, and he concludes actually with four warnings. The first warning, enter by the narrow gate. Second warning, beware of false prophets. Third warning, not everyone who says to me, Lord, Lord, will enter the kingdom of heaven. Fourth warning, make sure you build your house upon the rock. These are the four warnings. We're looking at one of them, beware of false prophets. Now, remember what Jesus has just done. He preached a sermon, and he told people how to live, to follow him, and to live right before the Lord. Blessed are those who are poor in spirit. Blessed are those who mourn. Blessed are those. And on we go. Also, he says, you have heard it said of old this, but I say this. Jesus is teaching how to follow him. And at the very end of this sermon, one of the things that he says is, beware of false prophets. Do you see what's happening? He's saying, I'm teaching you what is right. There will come those who will teach you what is wrong. Beware. It was true in Jesus' day. It was true when Matthew wrote the gospel. It's been true in the early church. It's been true in the church fathers and all through the centuries up to this point that people will take God's word and use it for their own purposes, twist it, and say something against it that's wrong. So Jesus is warning us to make sure we know who has our ear, to be discerning about that. In the early church, you would have people who were prophets that would come and speak God's word, and you would have others who would pretend to be prophets and speak something different, and Jesus calls those people false prophets. Ephesians chapter 2 gives us an insight into how the early church was working. The household of God, built upon the foundation of the apostles and the prophets, Jesus Christ himself being the chief cornerstone. Now, that was the era in which the church was forming, and our New Testament was forming as well. Once that era passed, we have the apostles and prophets with new revelation. That has passed, but all through church history, there have been people that would take God's word and twist it for their own gain and own purposes. Now, what we want to do is look at what Jesus says here in verse 15. And in verse 15, there's two points. Number one, there will be false prophets. Beware of the false prophets. There will be people who want to speak a message that is against, contrary to what God has spoken. Also, number two, these false prophets are dangerously deceptive. Look at verse 15 with me again, and let's look what Jesus says. Beware of false prophets who come to you in sheep's clothing, but inwardly are ravenous wolves. I remember growing up watching the cartoon of the sheepdog and the coyote. Do you remember seeing that cartoon? They'd get to the field about the same time, wouldn't they? One was about 7 o'clock, and they would both punch their time card. Good morning, Ralph. Good morning, Judith. They would both come in, and they'd punch their time card, and inevitably, they both set to work, the sheepdog guarding the sheep and the coyote getting to work doing his thing. And always, there was this one episode that coyote would take the wool of a sheep and put it over him and make his way all through there, gathering up all the sheep, and then he would get close right there at the edge of the field, and usually something like that, and he would punch him, the coyote. But that fable, that image of that wolf in sheep's clothing, or in this case, the coyote, it has been with us even before that. Just think about the story of Little Red Riding Hood. And you have a grandmother or a wolf that's dressed like a grandmother, right? And Little Red Riding Hood gets to the house and says, "Oh, look at those ears, how big they are, better to hear you with. Look at those eyes, how big they are, better to see you with. Look at those teeth, how big they are, better to eat you with." Aesop's Fables 600 BC told about wolves in sheep's clothing. And all this has a bit of an edge of humor, but it has an edge of seriousness as well. Outwardly, a person can pretend to be what they are not so that they can take advantage of you. Wolves in sheep's clothing, false prophets, are deceptive and dangerous. Inwardly, they are like ravening wolves who come to steal and destroy. So let me ask, who has your ear? Who speaks into your life? Who shapes your thoughts by their words, their teaching, and their actions? The question is important to us today because more than ever, we have so much access to so many voices. The question is also important because Christ says, there will be some who speak contrary to my word. We have a million messages, and there will be some that twist Jesus' words. So who has your ear? I hope right now you're asking yourself this question. How can I know who to listen to? How can I discern when there is a wolf in sheep's clothing? How do we pull the wool off the wolf to see them for who they really are? That's the question that Jesus answers next. He has an answer to that question, and he says, look at their life. Verse 16, you will recognize them by their fruits. Are grapes gathered from thorn bushes? Are figs from thistles? So every healthy tree bears good fruit, but the diseased tree bears bad fruit. A healthy tree cannot bear bad fruit, nor can a diseased tree bear good fruit. If you want to discern whether this person is a wolf in sheep's clothing or they are speaking God's word rightfully, Jesus says, look at their life. Examine the fruit of their life. Their motives are revealed by the fruit of their life. You will recognize them by their fruits. Their fruit of life should align with what they teach. Now, let me see if I can get this straight. I had a professor tell me this saying once. It's a bit of a tongue twister, but see if we can follow. He says, a walk walks, and a talk talks. But if the walk does not walk, the talk should not talk. I know that's a mouthful, isn't it? But do you see what he's saying? In short, and a lot easier saying, the proof is in the pudding. You look at the fruit of the life. How do we know if the words are more than throat deep? How do we know that they actually come from a heart that's been given over to God? How does Christ illustrate that? Look at the fruit. The fruit reveals the source. Where does a grape come from? A grapevine, not a thorn bush. Where does a fig come from? A fig tree, not a thistle. Healthy trees bear good fruit. Diseased trees bear bad fruit. Therefore, when you want to discern who you will give the privilege of giving your ear over to, make sure that you look at the fruit of their life. Now, the next question we're asking is this. What is the fruit that we should be looking for? Good question. It's not fame. It's not perfection. You'll never find perfection, and fame often leads in the wrong way. What is the fruit that we should be looking for? I think that we should just turn right back over to where Jesus began. And if you want to begin to look for fruit, look for the fruit of life that sounds like this. Blessed are the poor in spirit, for theirs is the kingdom of heaven. Blessed are those who mourn, for they shall be comforted. Blessed are the meek, for they shall inherit the earth. Blessed are those who hunger and thirst for righteousness, for they shall be satisfied. Blessed are the merciful, for they shall receive mercy. Blessed are the pure in heart, for they shall see God. Blessed are the peacemakers, for they shall be called sons of God. And blessed are those who are persecuted for righteousness' sake, for theirs is the kingdom of heaven. Perfection? No way. You can't find it. But somebody who pursues that humility in their heart, hunger and thirst for righteousness, mourning over their sin, wanting peace in the life, not only their own life, but the life of their family and the life of their church, who would give their life if push came to shove for the name of Jesus, that's the type of fruit that Christ is calling you to look for. Not perfection, but a pursuit of, a trajectory of these fruits in the life of a person. Now, finally, take notice what Jesus says about these people who are false prophets who seek to deceive and destroy God's flock. You see, you have fruitfulness, false prophets, and then Jesus enters into the equation with some fire. Verse 19, every tree that does not bear good fruit is cut down and thrown into the fire. God does not take lightly the intentional deception and destruction of his children. The false prophet's end will be fire if there is not repentance in that life. You see that very clearly here. Every tree that does not bear good fruit is cut down and thrown into the fire. He does not want his flock deceived and destroyed. And so we ask, who has your ear? Who are you listening to? Who is the one that speaks into your life? From whom do you receive wisdom and guidance on the big decisions? Have you looked at their life? Have you examined their fruit? Is it even available to look at? First, let that person who you would entrust with your ear be someone who is saturated with the Scripture, God's Word, who loves God's Word and loves the God of His Word. Let that person ooze out the words of God into your life and speak them. Let them do it faithfully, clearly, passionately. And secondly, make sure that you are able to examine the life of the person that you entrust with your ear. I mean, think about it. You really can sit in your car and turn on the radio, sit on your couch and turn on the TV, sit in any chair in the doctor's waiting room, swipe up that phone, and you can have a million different messages from a million different people. And guess what? You don't know a lick about their life. It's just a voice through a speaker, a person on a screen, words on a page. And you can't examine their fruit. You can't examine their life. Will you entrust your ear, your heart, to a person like that? Let me ask you, When you're out and about in maybe Corrales or Rio Rancho, Albuquerque, you ever see a little sign in a little village? It could be here or anywhere that says, shop local, buy local. Farm to table. You ever see something like that? Can I recommend something? The people who speak in your life, let them be farm to table teachers. What do I mean by that? I want you to shop local and buy local. I want you to give your ear, give your heart to someone that you can go up, open the hood, and look what's going on in their life. Why? Because that's exactly what Jesus says. Beware of false prophets. How do I know if they're a false prophet? Look at their life. Look at their fruit. And when you do, then you will know. I'm just going to talk to you as a friend. And I want you to say, Pastor, who do you listen to? Right? Don't get me wrong. There are times I listen to the famous preachers, right? But do you know who I really like to listen to? My pastor back in Virginia Beach, that we would sit down and break bread over the table. And I knew his life, knew how he took care of his mother-in-law and father-in-law when they got sick. Looked at his children and know them. Who else do I like to listen to? I've got two pastor friends up in Utah. I know their faces. I know their names. I know the names of their children. I see the trajectory of their life we're going. Are they perfect people? Absolutely not. But they've allowed me to open up the hood, look at their life, see the trajectory that they're going. Who do you listen to? Who do you want to influence your life? Shop local. Buy local. Have farm-to-table teachers. Someone that you could lift up the hood, look at their life, and say, oh, they're not perfect, but they're heading in the right direction, and I see the fruit of God's Spirit at work in them. On Sunday evening, on February the 9th, here at Charity, Lord willing, we'll have a family meeting. What's the purpose of a family meeting in a local church? It's to open up the hood so that each and every person can come and look and say, you know, that church isn't perfect, but boy, are they heading in the right direction. They want to use God's resources for His glory. They want to bear fruit. Church is not an event, nor is it a show. It's not a performance. The church and her ordinances, the preaching of God's word this morning, is to take care of your soul and my soul. It's to point people on a day like today, cold as it is outside, to Jesus Christ. It's so that we can stand up together, open up that hymnal, and sing songs and worship God Almighty, Father, Son, and Spirit. That's why we gather. We want the fruit to be displayed among God's people. Now, in conclusion, what I really want to do this morning is just for you to ask yourself, who has your ear? Take a good, long, deep look at who is speaking into your life, and I want you to look at the fruit of their life and make sure that it comports with God's word. But before we finish, I want to say this. Christ has called us to be a discerning people, and I want to admit the beauty and the joy and the love that we have right here in this place when we worship God together. It's wonderful. But I always want us to remember that our boast is not in us, but it's in the cross of Christ. We exist to glorify Him. What do I mean? Well, we've been talking about teachers, and we've been talking about discernment. And I want us to remember that there was one teacher who taught God's word with such power and such authority that anyone who heard his voice was amazed. There was one teacher who preached God's word with such pure motives and right actions that the character of God oozed out of him. There was one teacher whose perfect life reflected God's perfect word every single time. There was one teacher who called those who would follow him to take up their cross and follow him. And yet at the same time, he would take up his own cross and give his own life on their behalf. There's one teacher who would give his life, would become sin for us so that we could become the righteousness of God, and they would lay him in a tomb, and just like he taught, 3 days later, he would rise again. There was one teacher who never led anyone astray. There was one teacher that if you give him your ear, he will never leave you or forsake you. What is his name? Jesus. That's who we follow here. Jesus. There is one teacher who is the true shepherd, the chief cornerstone, the Son of God, the Savior of the world, the head of the church, which is his body, and his name is Jesus Christ. And if you give him your ear, if you give him your life, and you follow him in this life, he will take you by the hand and lead you, not only in this life, but through death and into life everlasting. This is the true good teacher, good shepherd, pastor of the church. So friends, lend your ear to him. Always listen to his word and follow him. I invite you to allow him to cultivate the fruits of the Spirit into your life this morning. Who has your ear? Let it be none other than Jesus Christ, the Son of God. Let us pray. Father, we come before you this morning, and we just ask that you would work in our hearts to take a long, hard, deep look at who it is that has our ear, who speaks truth to us, and let us make sure that these people who influence us are people who love you and who follow you, who bear fruit, the fruit of the Spirit in their life. And Lord, I pray for our church that you would continue to bless it and keep it close to you and keep us following the true shepherd, our Savior, Jesus Christ. And Lord, this morning, if there is anyone here whose soul is struggling, I ask that you would be very near to them and that your word, the word of truth, the word of salvation, the word of forgiveness through the death, burial, and resurrection of Jesus Christ would be clear and powerful. If you place your faith in this one, he will lead you to God Almighty now and forever. So Lord, let us commit anew to you, our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. And it's in his name we pray. Amen.